Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Dallas, man, good to catch up with you, brother. We haven't seen each other for a long time now. I mean, we probably haven't talked in 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's always good. I'll tell people real quick. So Dallas was a client of mine. I don't know what we met 6-7 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And got him through college, and now he's off in the real estate world. How's life in Dallas? It always cracks me up. I had two Dallases on my roster of players at the same time, Dallas Odell and then Dallas Albert. And then, you know, you're Dallas from Dallas, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And how's things going in Texas?
Oh, it's going great. Finally just getting some cool weather. I know I told you that before we started the podcast, but it's finally stopped not being hot. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's I haven't been in Dallas in the summertime. The latest I've been is April, but even April it was warm, man, warm and humid.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
Right on, brother. Right on. So I don't know. Do you remember what year we met?
Yeah, we met in 2019.
So, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pre-COVID. So holy crap.
Yes.
And so yeah, we do you remember how we connected? Was it through your mom?
Yeah. So I was going through the recruiting process. I was doing some emails, doing some texts, and I played for a really good club soccer team. And I just felt like me and my mom, especially my mom, was like, I feel like you're not getting noticed and you're not putting enough work. So she found you through Facebook, I believe, and she sent an application. And hoping that I would get picked. I know you guys have a little bit of selection process. I don't know if it's the same, but that's what it was back then.
Yeah, so my no, it
like,
is.
So she's like, I don't know if we're going to get selected, but I pray that we do. And sure enough, she was like, yep, you're going to be working with Don. So that's how we connected. So I wasn't even a part of the process. I just remember she said it was a great organization. You guys have helped players before. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to work. Like, I don't know if they're going to use me or, you know, accept me. But as soon as my mom told me, I just like, oh, perfect. Someone can help me through this college recruiting process.
Yeah, and you, God, if I remember, you guys were playing for a national champion team, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so yes, it was my junior high school, so we're U17 USYS national champions, and that's when we met. I think that summer is when we won, and that's when we started. So I was late to the recruiting process, so I was also at my disadvantage as well. So we had to go into senior year, and I remember talking to you.
Yeah, I think you came in the same year as another kid I had that year, came Noah
yes.
Glorioso. Mm-hmm. You remember you guys met in Dallas when I came and saw you guys play.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they were with another, I can't remember, one of the other affiliate national champions too. You guys were both really good players, and you were a starter. I mean, things were going the right way for you. And I always thought you were a very good player, it's funny because a lot of players, you know, that have won at the level you were playing at, which is a very good level. I mean, it's not, you know, MLS Next National Champions, but it's still a very good level. If you're a national champion at any level, you've beaten a lot of teams, man, mm-hmm. and you won a lot of games. And it's not easy. And no, I remember that you were a very, very solid player. What impressed me about you is you were good in the air, which a lot of center backs, it's crazy how many backs are not very good in the air.
Yes.
But you would lay yourself out on the line to get to the ball with your head and just lay your body out for the team and just big, strong player, just really solid. And I think a lot of people, I think what's interesting about your story to me, Dallas, is that you were a very good player at a real decent level, and yet you were still struggling to get the attention of college coaches, right?
Yes.
And so we went through the process a little bit, and we had some options on the table, and you ended up, go ahead and tell everybody your story, where you ended up at.
Yeah, so I played for Solar. Then we won the national championship U17, then U18. That was my senior year. That's when you finally got to see me at person in person, like you were saying, at National League. That was U18s, and then COVID happened. So as we're working through the process, trying to get visits was hard, trying to go and email and using some of your connections. But I had a couple options on the table. So I had Fort Hays was a top D2 school in Kansas. They had 10 national tournament appearances, I believe, when picking them. So they're just a D2 powerhouse. And then I had another official visit at Central Connecticut State University. I went on an official visit there with one of your clients as well. That was Austin Rocky, I believe. Or, yeah.
Austin went there, Ivan
Yeah.
Ferreyras went there and started for them, and Austin, yeah, did really well. And yeah, I guess Austin prep right your class, or was that right after you?
Yeah, that was my class.
That was your class, yeah.
Yeah, so me and him went on that official visit together. So that was cool talking to him and learning about a little bit of his life. But I had them, and then I had a couple NIAA schools, and then also JUCO as well, top JUCO schools. So I had a little bit of options. I decided to go. I went to Fort Hays and then Central Connecticut State University. That's what I said, and a couple other. But I felt like Fort Hays was the right decision for me at that time. I was getting academic scholarship. I also was getting athletic scholarship as well, and I could double stack. And that's it just made sense. Affordability, and then also, I mean, they've gone to the national tournament 10 years consecutively. So I was like, that's a school I want to be a part of. They have winning mentality already there. That's a program I want to be a part of. 2 years before I went there, they also went to the semifinals of D2 national tournament. So I was like, they definitely have some good players coming in and out of there.
Yeah, and I don't know if a lot of people understand that when you get to the Division II level, at that level, when you're always in that national championship hunt, it's basically loaded with D1 players. Yeah. So what was there a wake up call for you when you got into play? So what were you what can you remember what your expectations were when you were before you showed up? Like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I can do this. I'm gonna start. What were your expectations? What was your mentality before you showed up?
Yeah, before I showed up, I thought definitely my freshman year I was going to get some minutes. You know, when I was playing at a really good level, just under, so back when I was playing, it was Academy and then USYS. ECNL really wasn't big yet on the boys' side when I
Right.
was playing. So it really was Academy and then us. So I felt like I was at a really good level. And I thought coming into that program, I would get some minutes. And then the sophomore year, I'd get even more minutes and then just continually become a starter my junior year. Well, when I showed up to Fort Hays, we had 21 new freshmen that came in. So incoming class, 21 people. Well, what I didn't realize when I got there is 18 of them were international. So that means they only recruited three Americans, and I was one of them. So when I showed up and started playing with them, there is definitely a difference in quality for sure. I mean, when they're 21 and I'm only 18 years old, about to turn 19, and they're already 21 years old, you can tell there's a little bit different experience, different age, but great players, great players, great personality. I never had any I never had a bad experience with any of them. You could just tell they were just different and their quality of play. So that's what I want to say. But they were everywhere. We had people from Denmark. We had people from Iceland. We had people from Chile. We had a Dutch player. We had Paraguayan, I mean, all these different nationalities. It was so cool to be just learn from them and learn what goes on in their country and how they grew up playing. So yeah, I thought I was kind of going to be in there, kind of one of the top dog freshmen, so realize everyone, even from their own country, is top dog. So that was a really
Sure.
wake-up call for me.
So how'd your freshman year go?
So my freshman year, it did not go the way I wanted it to go, but I did not play. Like I said, it was a wake-up call. So when I was in youth soccer, I didn't realize this until I got to the collegiate level, especially at that level, is I was not a good passer. I was not a good technical player for a center back. And that's what you need. I was a good defender. I was really good at reading the play. I was intelligent on that end aspect, a defender. But playing out from the back, sometimes hitting those direct balls that have to be 60 yards, 70 yards, especially where we were at Fort Hays. It was in the Central of America, so they're very direct with their play. So hitting that 60, 70 yard space into the corner flag is big, and I just couldn't do that. So I got beat out by a Japan guy, very, very good player. But he was from Japan. I think he was 20 years old, 21, but he was a freshman as well. But he was so good. I mean, just the technical aspect, the way he would lace the ball through and follow through, I just was never really taught that. And his plant foot, it was directly where it needed to go. It was amazing to watch, but also learn from. So yeah, it didn't go the way I wanted it to, but one thing I will say is I learned from him a lot. But I was number three choice. Or wait, I was number, let's see. So I was the fifth choice center back, and we had, I believe, seven out of center back choices. So I was fifth. So if I wasn't playing, then there was two other guys that were beating me out. So I didn't
So,
try with them.
I remember having a conversation at the end of that freshman year, and of course, you wanted to, as every freshman does who doesn't want to play, who doesn't get to play, like, maybe I should transfer.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
what was my advice, and what did you end up doing at the end of that year?
I think you gave me two options, if I remember correctly. You're like, well, one, you can transfer and just give up on yourself, on the program that you picked, or you can keep on going, give it another year and grind it out. And I really took that, prayed about it, and I thought I could grind it out one more year. And also, it was COVID. So we only played, I think,
Right.
six games. So it wasn't enough
Right.
to really justify
Yeah.
how long I was there. So
I think my advice would have been say would have been the same if it had been a long season, just because I've noticed so many times. Look, I've noticed it being a freshman and then being away from home like that. It wasn't like you were playing in Dallas, right? It wasn't like you could be home, you could see your friends, you could, I mean, there's homesickness that goes on, right? That freshman year. It's really
definitely.
hard. And COVID made it t 10 times harder than any regular year, right?
Yes, it was hard, for sure. That was really an aspect of it. It was really hard. I mean, COVID, we had to get COVID tests. I mean, swabs every week. We couldn't leave our dorms. We couldn't go out. We had to stay just to keep on playing soccer. If you did leave, like some guys at the university left, not just on our sports team, but different sports team at Fort Hays, they kind of left. Went to a party or whatever, and they got kicked off their team. So it was high stakes back then. You had to stay in your dorm. Yeah, it was crazy times. But so that was hard. It was really hard on all of us. So really, we were closer together as a team, and we had to train. And then we didn't have any games. So it was just training, going to the dorms, eating lunch, staying together, not giving other people handshakes, 6 feet apart. There's all these different protocols. Yeah. So yes, it was really hard mentally. I'm 6.5 hours from family. Yes, it's a simple drive, but I couldn't go home because of the COVID restrictions. So I had to stay there. But also, I got to learn a lot. Like I said, learning about that technique, learning about different backgrounds, talking to players. So.
So we get through COVID, we're going into 2021, and of course COVID was kind of still a thing, but I think where you were, In Kansas, it was probably maybe a little looser than some other states. California was still
Yes.
in a full lockdown in
Yes.
California in 21. But you go in, at least you're going to get a normal season, right?
Yes. So we got a normal season. I was training all summer, training with some other college guys that are from Dallas as well. I was expecting high things, ready to go into the season and ready to finally have my first full season of collegiate soccer. Felt a little bit robbed of that freshman year. So I was definitely excited for sophomore year.
How'd sophomore year go?
So sophomore year, I was the fourth choice center back. I didn't travel the, I want to say probably half the season I didn't travel, but I put a lot of hard work in. I started learning from the Japan center back. We had another starting center back who was, I believe on, he was either a senior or his fifth year. I think he was a senior. So it was him and then sophomore Japan center back. And then I got beat out with another Texan center back as well, and then it was me. So the first half of the season I wasn't playing. So it was really hard on me mentally, because basically I made soccer my whole identity. You know, growing up being such a good player, always got called, you know, you're such a great soccer player. You're up so good. And then you come to college, especially at Fort Hays, a powerhouse, everyone's the best. They're the best of the best. So you're competing for the best of the best, number one and number two spot, playing that four back system. So I didn't travel the first half of my season. It was really hard for me. But then I started working really hard and the coach noticed that. And then I made the travel squad. So I've started finally going. I was number three center back and I started traveling with the team. So I went to the conference. I didn't play, but I learned a lot. Didn't go as I expected, but I'm proud of myself that I worked hard and I made the travel squad and went to the conference, went to even the national tournament. So that was amazing.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things about you, Dallas, is I enjoy when my players, keep me in the loop of what's going on. I do, I really do. But I always tell, I've told my, when I was a coach, I would tell my players this, and then, in my job now trying to help players, I tell them this. I'm one person to you, I'm one person. But I've got hundreds of clients, so throughout all the years, so it's much easier for you to get in touch with me than me to remember to get in touch with you. It's just hard. And I always love that you'd text me or you'd call me occasionally, and you did this throughout the recruiting process. And honestly, I think it made it easier for me to help you as a player, just knowing what was going on. You'd call me after every meeting with every coach. You'd call me. This is how it went. This is what's going on. It's like, oh, I love this, because it made it easier to try to figure out where to help you get to. But during that year, I remember you. I get excited for my players, and look, I know what a big deal it is to travel when you've not been traveling, right? It's like, all right, at least I get to be with the team, and then to be able to go and experience a national tournament is something that players and coaches dream about their whole life, and most don't get to do it. Most never get to even make the playoffs for the national championship. And the kind of good feeling, huh?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And I just want to touch on, yeah, I would always call you. And I remember halfway through, I think we had a conversation and you said, go talk to the coach, learn why you're not part of the travel squad. And I remember going to talking to him and he's like, you have to produce more on the field. You have to keep on working hard. And I remember you using an example of when you were coaching, how you had a player on your bench, you gave him 5 minutes and he just complained about, you know, those 5 minutes and he didn't play. So you have to take advantage of those little opportunities that a coach is giving you. Yeah, it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's not what you really want to expect, but the coach is going to be watching you during those 5 minutes. How are you reacting when you're getting put in the game? How for those 5 minutes? Are you giving it all 110%? So that's what's carried me that year, is I remember you telling me that and it paid off. I mean, I didn't get to go on the field, but I was working so hard to do that and made the travel squad. So I improved. And the coach saw that. He saw me working harder in practice and being more team oriented.
Yeah, and that's it, team oriented. I don't know if I ever gave you this advice, but when players have exit meetings with coaches, or they talk to coaches about and things haven't gone well. So they talk to him during the season, maybe. It's almost always, what can I do to get myself more playing time? In other words, me. It's about me. And something about that always rubbed me the wrong way. As a coach, I think the right question for players to ask is, what can I do to make the team better, coach? What do I need to do? And if you're in your position, Dallas, and I think what you realized is your job is to push everybody else to be better. So, in other words, be the best you can be. Put 100% into what you're doing. Focus on your what you can control every day, and just ball out as best you can every day. That raises the level of the team. A rising tide lifts all boats, and then that helps the team be more prepared, and that helps the team, accomplish more. And coaches notice that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, 100%. It's what are you willing to sacrifice? This beautiful sport, it doesn't go always the way you want to, but like you said, you have to push the other boys. You have to be positive. Maybe a starter's having a down practice, but you're lifting them up. I mean, it's those little things, and coaches notice it. You don't think they do, but they do. It's how are you helping the team? Because if you're, poison to the team, the coach doesn't want to have you travel because he knows you're going to affect the other people on the team. So he's just going to leave you. And that's what some of the boys were doing. So they got left. And I remember being, not part of the travel squad. It was hard. I mean, showing up when they're showing up on Saturdays when you should be playing or apart, having five people, six people, or nine people, whoever's a part of the travel squad, or some boys don't want to show up to the practice that you scheduled for that Saturday. It's hard. It's definitely a sacrifice.
Wow. So what a this is such a great story for life. I mean, you're part of a team now, you're part of a Realty Group, and we're going to get into that a little bit because I want to talk about how it translates, but I'm sure you've noticed how it translates into your job.
Oh, yes. Yes, 100%. College soccer has prepared me in more ways than ever for the real life with getting a job, especially how hard it is. But with college soccer, it's just prepared me. I wouldn't change anything of my college journey. I think it's prepared me to who I am today.
So you get through your sophomore year, and of course we have another conversation, right? It's like,
I would just want to say,
yeah,
we
go
got through
ahead.
sophomore year, but it was amazing to I was a part. We went all the way to the Elite Eight. So traveling with the boys and being part of that NCAA national tournament and going so far and just being one win off of four teams. I mean, it was incredible. We had some amazing comeback wins. So being part of that was just amazing. That's just what I wanted to say is being part of Elite Eight, it was so special, and the NCAA tournament is so special and amazing. It is crazy. Some amazing teams come out in that
It is
tournament.
special, and it really is elite. Elite Eight, they say Elite Eight for a reason. It's elite, man.
Yes.
It's every team you play against. Who'd you guys end up losing to?
Indianapolis. I think they were number three at the time, and they were the top seed, so we had to go to Indianapolis to play, and we played the was that round of 16 before that at Indianapolis. But before that, we got a round bye, and we played Wisconsin Parkside. Oh, we came back. It was a crazy game, and then the game round of 16, we also came back as well and won that. So then we went into Indianapolis. And oh, Indianapolis was a great. They were a great team. They had 70 players on the roster, and we only had, I think, 38, 39. I mean, we still had a big roster, but not as big as that. I remember when we showed up to the Elite Eight game, I look at their bench, and it's like so long compared to ours, but they had big, big players. I mean, I'm looking at my position. They have like a 6'6 guy at center back. I look at who's next to him. It's a 6'4 guy. I mean, huge, huge. And our center backs was, I think, a 6'3 and then a 6'1 or 6'2. But yeah, it was crazy. They were such a really good team, but we were there to compete, and we lost, I think, 2-0, if I remember correctly. But
Wild. Yeah. Again, I think when you get to that level, man, with the team's that good, that those kids could all play on virtually any D1 team in the country.
yes, they were so good.
Wild. So, how'd the exit meetings with your coach go at the end of the season?
Yeah, so I went to this, went in there, talked to him. It went good. He said, I would like to have you be part of the team. I think you're just so good for the team. I love your personality. I don't want to cut you. I think you're really good. Now, the problem is when I was talking to him, is he just told me, I love the one thing I will say, I loved about the Fort Hays coach, Jerry, is he was very upfront and honest. That's one thing that I can say I loved about him. So he just told me straight up, I don't know when you come back if you're going to be a number one or number two. You could be, a number six choice center back. We're going to bring a lot of players back in to the program. So I just want to be honest with you. It just depends how hard you train. And I don't know where you're going to fit. You're definitely not me cut. I think you're great for the team. I love you a lot, but I just don't know how you're going to fit into next year's team. If you're going to be a number one or number two option, I just don't know. So he said, basically, just think about it. And I told him, yeah, I'm going to definitely think about it. Give me about, I think I took a week and a half just to think about it, if this was the right choice for me. And we were getting close to beginning of summer. And I remember I called you and talked to kind of about my options and what should I do. And I just prayed a lot about it. And I decided to go in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I think 2 years is a good amount of time to give you an idea where he sits, especially with coach like Coach Cleary, because he's, like you said, he's gonna tell you what he thinks, and he's not gonna blow smoke up you. There's no reason to do that, and it's not like they can't, the team coming off the Elite Eight, a lot of players want to be there. It's not gonna be hard to bring in high quality players, and we sometimes get to the point in our careers where you realize the mountain's really high. I kind of, you see all these guys climbing Mount Everest, right? And you realize, hey, a lot of people climb Mount Everest, but more people don't in the world, right? And if you make it to base camp, that alone is a trek, making it to base camp. And most people will never make it to base camp. And then if you make it halfway up the mountain and you decide you can't make it, and you've given it everything you can, and you're out of gas, man, and you're just like, what else can I do? There's no shame in saying, I can't make it all the way to the top. It's not that you failed. You already accomplished more than most people in the world ever will accomplish. And there's no shame in that, in saying, maybe I'll go climb Mount Whitney instead. Maybe I'll do something different.
Yeah, I just thought going in there, going through that whole season, is he had a number two and number one, that he was relying on for the future. And I just didn't see me cracking in there. I felt the coach was, very strong on these two players. And going into junior year, that's what happened. But that's kind of what I was, where my head was at, is do I want to kind of get chump change or not even that, being number three option or before. I always had confidence in myself. I just felt like I wasn't opening the door enough to where the coach wanted me to be at, or where his expectation was for the number one or number two spot. So that's why I decided to go in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and look, I think that there's, it's funny in your situation at that point. I don't remember exactly what I told you, but I remember my conversation was different than the first time around. It wasn't like stick it out, right? A little different conversation. It's like, no, if you feel that this is right at this moment, especially when you tell me what a coach says, it's like, oh, that sounds like sort of doesn't have plans for you, And if a coach is honest and doesn't sort of have plans for you, then it is time to move on if you want to play. You could stick it out and fight it out. Maybe your senior year you play a little bit. Maybe you're the starter senior year. I don't know. But you want to, every player wants to play. I mean, that's why you go to college to play.
Definitely.
Yeah. So at that point, you can you're not transferring up. Right. So you're not going to go up into the D1 world at that point because you haven't started, you haven't played. And so you transfer what we would consider down or across, but it's not going to be national championship level division two, and it's not going to be national championship level division one. It's not going to be that. It's going to look different. And you found a really unique situation that I don't think most players would pick. And I think it was God that helped you find Bob Jones, right?
Yes, definitely. And I remember I told you I was going to the portal. Well, the same day as I texted a buddy that I trained with that summer, and we played high school together. He was my captain. I played at a D2 school as well, and he went to this school. But entering the transfer portal, I remember talking to you about this. The first question you asked me is, or one of the first questions you asked me is, what film do you have? And I remember I barely had any film. I was scratching it up. But that spring, so that fall ended, we went to spring semester. I gave it like just one more shot to kind of feel it, make sure that maybe that I could reach into the number two spot. But it's just the same case. I did play my spring. So we played some good schools. We played the Kansas City school, the D1. I can't remember what their name is, but we played them. And then we played a couple others. So I had some film, played some at home. So I had just a little bit of film, but it wasn't the best quality. So I only had, I think, a minute and a half. I was scrambling to get going. So it was really hard through that portal because I was wondering, talking to you. And I always respect you and SRUSA because you guys take us back as well. Even if we do enter the transfer portal, you're always there to help us all the way through our collegiate career. That's one thing I want to say is amazing and unique because I wasn't expecting that. I was like, I don't know if Don's going to help me again. And you did. Even with that little film that I had, and it wasn't the best, but we made the best of it that we could. And I remember talking to you. So I had Bob Jones, University because of that captain. And then also talking to you, you gave me more options as well. You gave me more NAIA schools as well. I think I had three or four that I was talking to with the Zoom call and over the phone. And then I had just a couple D3 schools. So those were my options going into the transfer portal. I think midsummer, those were all my options on the table.
So why Bob Jones?
So at my point, I had three schools in my top three for the transfer portal. It was Ottawa University, that's in Arizona, a good NIA school. And then I had Warner University. It was a decent NAIA school. Coach really loved me. They both felt me. Ottawa, I felt just they had a reserve team. And talking to the coach, I thought he was really good. I just didn't really feel like I feel like he was like number three. And then I went to Warner University. Coach really loved me, really wanted me, showed me what I was going to be for their program. And then Bob Jones, of course, I had that high school and then talking to their coach. And I felt like at the time I was lacking confidence and I needed someone to believe in me. And I already had that connection with my high school captain, training with him in summers. And I felt like praying to God, that door that opened. Because like I said before, when I entered the transfer portal, I just texted, it was just a long shot. I was like, hey, Bob's looking for a center back. I would love to join. And they were coming off a national championship run as well. They just won. But I needed that confidence. I needed someone to believe in me and be okay that I might stink for the first couple of games, but someone to believe in me and talk to the coaches like this guy can be really good. Just give him a little bit. Tune out the tweaks a little bit, but he can be a really good player. He just hasn't played these last 2 years. And I just prayed and I felt God telling me go to Bob Jones. And that's where I went.
Wow. Yeah. And things were different for you at Bob Jones University, weren't they?
Oh yeah, it was crazy. I remember the first conversation I talked to Ian was his name, Ian Arinza. I talked to him and he was like, okay, well, Bob Jones is different. What's funny is they also were losing a center back. He transferred to a D2 school, but they were losing a center back, a main starter that they needed. But talking to him, he was like, look, Bob Jones is not your typical school. It's different. He just was telling me all the rules, demerits. It's a conservative school. It's a Christian school for people that are going to be listening to this. It's one of the top five most conservative schools in America. So you have to dress a certain way. So you have to wear a collared shirt with pants and a belt to class. So you can't be wearing your typical shorts or t-shirts like I was at Fort Hays State University. It was different. It was a private liberal arts school. Christian school. So he was just telling me all these rules. It was just really funny because coming from a state school to that, it's just like, oh my goodness, is soccer really something that I want to give everything for? But at the time, I felt like I have a really high chance of playing and having a great, last couple of years of my collegiate career.
Yeah, and the soccer went pretty well for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it went amazing. But I remember telling you about Bob, and you're like, do you know about Bob Jones? You're telling me a little bit. Do you know about the rules? And I remember laughing. So funny. But yeah, I got the breakdown of how Bob is. There's so many rules. We can have a whole conversation about that. But I really, at the time, was asking myself, is soccer truly something that I want to continue to do and play? And Bob Jones went great. The 3 years I was there, I won two national championships for the NCCAA
Which is the Christian schools conference,
Association.
basically.
Yeah. But when I was joining Bob, they were D3, I guess, intermarry, so transitioning to D3, but still a part of the Christian. And that's what some of the schools were doing that were competing that Christian. If they didn't make their conference tournament or didn't get past the conference tournament and go to the D3 national tournament, they would go into that Christian conference. But that's what I was kind of getting sold on as well, is we're playing some D3 and then also the Christian aspect, play those schools.
And so just so people listening understand, so these schools that are part of the NCSAA,
It's NCCAA, so just
NCCAA, that they can be, they're dual affiliates. So there's Division Twos that are part of that, or NAIAs or D3s. And like Dallas just said, if you don't make it past your conference tournament, then you can enter that national tournament along with all of those other schools. That's cool. It gives you opportunity to it's kind of like in basketball, you have the NCAA tournament and you have the NIT tournament. So sort of like that.
It was really cool experience. I got told that we just don't play NCCAA opponents. We play all different types. So while I was there, is well, the year prior coming there, they even played D1 Furman on their regular schedule and they tied 2-2. So coming to that year, I was like, wow, this team actually is something. They have a little bit of quality that I wasn't expecting. But that year that we played D2 schools, we played D3 schools, we played NAIA schools, played preseason, we played some JUCO schools as well. So we were getting a taste of every single kind of level. I didn't play any D1 schools unless it was in the spring. We did play some D1 schools. But it was cool because we got to play every single different division and then also compete at the NCCAA level as well.
Yeah, what a great experience, and to win with them, and I think you even got to, you captain the team later on,
Yes,
right?
yes, yes. I so when going into my junior year, went through some preseason. I played, started, actually didn't play good at all. I made a lot of mistakes. Second preseason game, the coach was having some doubts about me. So the first game of the season we jumped into, I actually didn't start. Took it really hard. I wasn't happy at all. I trained really hard, talked to the coach. We had some butting heads, worked things out, and then I started playing the next game, and then the rest is history. But had a really good conversation with the coach, and he was like, I understand. I was like, I need time. And that's what the captain from Ian, he was telling the coach, like, I need time. And coach was like, all right, I'm gonna put my trust in you. And it paid off. And we went 15-4-1 that season, I believe, and played some really good teams. But it still was a rocky start from the beginning. I had to work my way. I had to keep on training. But from Fort Hays, I became a better player. Even through that, I became a better passer because at Bob, that's what I was known for. I was a ball playing defender. And it's funny because if you looked at me coming into Fort Hays, that's not what you would say. You would say I'm just a defender. So it's funny how, through all those trials and things that were going on, I took some of those and made it a Bob and made me a great player at that level and competing.
That's just, again, such a great, had you not stuck it out, had you run away right away, your freshman year when things got hard, And you wouldn't have picked up, that whole experience that you got your sophomore year.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it takes you sacrificing a little bit some of your pride for that. So I had that Japan guy starting in front of me, like I said earlier, but I would ask him after practice, how do you strike the ball? How are you getting it 60 yards? And him talking through the technique that he would use, how is he lacing the ball? That was never taught. So yeah, that eventually then panned out to where I was at Bob and how I could use that. But I remember doing our first practice at Bob. I was like, man, I don't know how the quality is going to be. I don't know if we're going to have a good season. Like, I don't know who these players are. Like, I've never heard of the NCCAA. Like, all I heard of was the NCAA, not NCCAA. So I remember showing up and I was actually surprised with the quality. And yeah, I had a great time at Bob. And I'm so thankful for the things that I learned at Fort Hays that maybe at that present, I wasn't understanding and questioning God and questioning why I went to Fort Hays and why I picked that school, but I really started to see it paying off the last 3 years in my collegiate career.
Yeah, that's such a cool story. I just love it. I love I just it's look, it is the stick-to-itiveness of life, or is that even a word? Stick-to-itiveness? I don't know. But yeah, no, the way that the persistency, and the never giving up. And as you so as you finished up at Bob Jones, you finished up your senior year, or your I guess your post-COVID year. Because you got that
Yeah.
extra year because of COVID, right?
Yeah. So that last year, my 5th year, yeah, we set a program history. We went 17-2-2. So we tied the program's history and then won the national championship. That was probably, and I was a captain as well. So that just basically, it's crazy from where I started the collegiate, my collegiate career, not playing in the headspace I was to where, through that, I guess 4.5 years where I finished is just amazing to me. And that's what I encourage to everyone who's watching this is maybe it's not the way that it goes, but it's how you finish is the biggest
Yeah,
thing.
it's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters, right?
And maybe I think, like I said earlier, sacrificing that pride, maybe it's not the level that you dreamed of or that you thought of, but everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer in that. That God puts you in places. And I would never change anything because I wouldn't have found him and God, and also the relationships and bonds that I made at Bob Jones will be forever. And I always dreamed to go in D1, and D1, you hear it all the time, D1, 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 D1 or nothing. Like if you don't go D1, and I remember having this conversation with you, is I remember talking to you for the first time being, well, Don, I want to play at UCLA and all this Clemson, and you're like, I'm used to hearing that, but I'm gonna be totally honest with you, is I think I can get you D2, high D2 level or below if that's what you want to do, but you have to find, like you always preach, the right fit. And I felt through the collegiate level, I think there was ways that helped me, but I'm so happy the way it finished and the player that I was and the level that I was comfortable with that I found out eventually. And I'm just happy. I'm just happy at the way it went and I found the right fit.
Yeah, it's so cool. So you're back in Dallas now, man, and you're doing real estate. Now your mom did real
Yes.
estate. Did she influence that, or did you kind of watch her, how things were going with her life and decide, and did you always know you wanted to do that? I don't remember real estate being like, this is what I want to do back
Yeah.
when you were in high school.
Yeah, I did a little bit of real estate, just putting up signs, open house signs, a little bit of that, some cold calling throughout the summers just to have some money. But no, I always felt that real estate, my mom was always wanting me to get into it, but I always felt it was kind of my parents living through you. I know
Right.
soccer players, sometimes we can definitely understand that. Some of the kids, players, parents try to, use their kids for their dreams and really what is their dreams. So I didn't want to be like that. I wanted something
Right.
that I wanted to do. And I felt like the last month and a half, I was praying and I felt God, look, what do you want me to do? And I felt like real estate was it. So I was trying to navigate if it was my mom's dream or actually I wanted to do it. So I did, I decided to go all in on that. Graduated with my business administration's degree. And then went back into real estate school just to finish it. In February, I got my license and now I've just been doing real estate and absolutely love it. I can explain it's the same thing as soccer, but I love it. I've already had some closings as well. I've got 9 clients right now that I'm working with. So, yeah.
That's a fast start, dude. I've been in and around the real estate world at one point in my life, and I've a lot of buddies that were in it, and there were a lot of guys that didn't have that kind of a fast start. That's a good fast start, man.
100%, but it all becomes, with college soccer has led me to where it is. You have to be, it's commission based. So you're not getting paid hourly. You're not getting paid a set amount, a set salary each year. It's commission based. So it's whatever your performance is that you're going to make. And I can relate that so much to soccer. It's what you put in is
Yeah,
what you're
expand on
going
that for me. I love that because, like
to
in my business, it's commission based too.
get.
If we don't sign clients, we don't make money. And
Yep.
I always related that to people as a soccer coach. I mean, that's the way life is, man. If you don't
Yeah.
get the job done, you don't eat. And that's, winning is eating in soccer. So tell me about the lessons that you learned that are translating now to your job.
Yeah. So I feel like my real estate career, and I'm still going on it, but I feel like it's just like college soccer, is when I started my collegiate career at Fort Hays, I didn't see the fruits of what I was doing, but I kept on working hard. I kept on doing that. And that's what I felt like real estate was. Coming into real estate, I remember my broker and my mom telling me that you're not going to make probably your first check until 8 months in. And I felt like if I work so hard, then I can get something going. And, I only had X amount of money in my bank account left. So, and it was just, it's really hard. It's really hard mentally when you see your bank account just draining each month, knowing that no money's
Yeah.
coming in. And I felt like that's what it was with soccer. I wasn't playing on the field. I wasn't seeing the reward, but I kept on working hard and showing up every day, putting in extra hours. But I knew what I was doing, and I was building Dallas Albert. And now I'm seeing the
Wow.
payoff is I'm still building my brand, Dallas Albert, but as a real estate agent. I'm putting in extra hours, but I'm so happy that I'm doing this because I'm building myself and not building a company or something else. Like I'm building me, I'm putting in that extra maybe 60, 70 hours a week. But I'd rather do that now at a young age and build my business than go work for a company and build them up. But sacrifice this time and effort and hard work. And it's hard. It is really hard, but I relate it all to soccer. Showing up and not seeing the reward is a summary of it.
Dude, this is why you're one of my favorite kids I've ever worked with. You honestly are, man. I say kid, don't take that the wrong way. You're a man now, but you're one of the favorite people I've ever worked with, dude. You always, God, no matter how hard things got, you never gave up. And I know, I know you fell down. I know, because I know it's hard, but
Yeah,
this is
it was
life, man. Life is hard.
100%, and I'm saying this all now, but it's one thing saying it, but in that moment, I remember I had depression my sophomore year. I remember I didn't want to live. I had a point in time where I didn't want to live because I made soccer an idol. I made soccer everything. Like without
Wow.
Dallas Albert, I didn't know who I was. So I made soccer all around. And when I wasn't playing, I thought everything else was cancer. Like I thought just everything else was an issue. So pushed away family. I broke up with my girlfriend, went away. I just pushed everyone aside. And then it was just me at the end of the day in my room crying and just, wondering what life is. And I remember I almost wanted to take my own life seriously. And I called my mom and told her, and she drove straight up. And that's when I had a, it was fall, that fall semester, but I had a realization Dallas Albert is bigger than soccer. There's more to you. Soccer is going to end, but who you are outside of that, even if I make it pro, it's still going to be a day where you can't compete. So who are you outside that? And yeah, and that's how real estate has been. There's days where I'm doing open houses and I'm sitting there, I'm wondering why I'm sitting in my car, like, am I gonna make it in the next 3 months? Starting out, I had to get a closing, I think, in like 5 months. So I was like wondering, like, am I gonna make it? I'm a new agent. Who's gonna trust me with the biggest financial decision of their life to trust me as a young 23-year-old? And it happened. God, made someone come through open house, first client. Got my first deal in 3 months. And it goes all back to his hard work and keep on pushing, even when you have those dark days that you're wondering why. There's a bigger purpose to you. than just soccer. You know, it's who you are.
So important that you shared that story with us, because I know that there's gonna be parents and kids that listen to this. And for the parents listening to this, please have that discussion with your kids in high school that soccer is not who you are. It's just something that you do. It's just something that you do. And I, my God, my kid was at 10 years old. Brad, our son, had said, oh, I want to play in England. I want to play. That's my goal, is to play in England. I want to play professionally. I want to play in England. And I was like, as a soccer coach, it's like, yeah, that's never going to happen. But as a parent, it's like, okay, well, then these are the things you got to do. And at probably 12 or 13, maybe 14, we saw him putting so much work into it that my wife came to me one day and said, I'm worried that if Brad doesn't make it, just like you were talking about, what depression is that going to lead to? Or he's going to hurt himself. He's putting so much into this. What if it doesn't work out? And so we sat him down and we had that conversation with him that, look, this is just something that you're doing. No matter how it works out, you're a wonderful person. Just live your life according to God's plan, and things are going to work out for your life. Soccer is just something that you do. It's just no different than if you drew art or if you played music, or it's just a side gig, man. It's not who you are. And the fact that you came to that realization at 19, along with God's help and your mom's help, and that's and I love your mom. Your mom was, for people that I probably should have your mom on the podcast from a mom's perspective, because she really was good about not stepping on our toes working together. She didn't call and bug me, and she wasn't in your face, and she wasn't all about you. But at the same time, she's a mom and she's there. I mean, mom is there. She has a very unique presence that's wonderful, and it's a very loving, hovering presence without smothering. I don't know how else to describe it. Would you say that's right? Hovering without smothering?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the biggest thing I love my mom for is she allowed you to step up and fill that shoes, where she didn't know everything about soccer. So I'm very thankful that she stepped away and let you and me handle all the soccer, because it was my
Oh,
dream,
good.
it was my vision and what I wanted to do. And she didn't really understand that world. She knew of it just watching me. But and she wanted always the best for me, and she was always wondering why I wasn't playing everything. But taking that one step back and letting me and you talk and letting myself try to handle it. But also, when it wasn't going good, being there for when. And that's why I love my family, and family's so important. Instead of pushing them away, tell them what you're going through in life, and don't be afraid to speak up. I think as men, sometimes we're scared to voice, we're going to be weak. Saying all of our problems, but the family, that I mean, that's the one thing that you have, and that's going to show up to you no matter through the good or bad times. And that's what I learned there, because I felt like growing up all the way through was always me, 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 soccer, me, me, soccer, soccer, me, 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 pushing, sacrificing time away. Soccer players who know this, watching, to get that collegiate level, even pro, you have to sacrifice so much time from birthdays, from parties, from even high school prom or homecoming, all of those things that kind of people get to do, but so much sacrifice. So when you feel like it doesn't work out, you feel like you failed, you feel like a failure, you feel like you're a failure to your family, and you just start pushing people away. But when you start expressing and telling your family, it's not the case. It's just your thoughts in your mind that are thinking that. That's not the case at all. You're not a failure. Yeah, it didn't work out. But you're not a failure. You're still Dallas Albert. That you're a son. You're a brother. You're a friend. So
That's just so powerful, dude. I didn't know this was going to go there, and I love it, but it's powerful. It's so powerful because you're not unique, man, in that aspect. And I think people under kid kids understanding that they're not alone, that other players feel this way.
And there's other players out there that have gone through a similar situation as you. You're not the only one.
You're not the only one. Yeah, you're not alone. That's so cool, dude. Yeah, so looking back to your high school years, if you could tell your high school self one thing Or if you could give some good advice to your high school self about the collegiate recruiting process and picking a school that fits you, what would you go back and tell yourself?
I would tell myself to start earlier. Like I said, we started, I'd start really started junior year, and then connected with you junior summer. So going into my senior year, I wish I would have started the recruiting process freshman year. But also with that, working hard, making extra sacrifices for the future that I wanted, if soccer was really it, I would say work hard, but also email, text coaches, try to get in front of them, go to camps. Get connected with Dawn. That would be my recommendation. But I would say start earlier and work hard and realize soccer is not everything. Like you said, sitting down with your son and talking to him is soccer is not everything. There's going to be a point in time, and sometimes it can get repetitive, but it's so true. Soccer is not going to be your everything. There's going to be a point in your life where you're not going to be able to play soccer. Just your body can't. You have to step away. So what are you going to do? How are you going to fill that shoe? So try to pick up new hobbies as well. But work hard would be the number one thing, and start the recruiting process earlier. So emailing coaches, texting out the coaches, going to ID camps. I just wish I would have started that process a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, on the guy's side, it's funny because what I think the starting early point does on the guys versus girls. I mean, girls are a whole year and a half earlier than guys are in the recruiting process. The problem with the guy's side is, at 16 years old, you still look like a boy compared to these 21-year-old men. That are and 22-year-olds that are juniors, seniors, or guys that are playing and starting, you still look like a little boy. And coaches don't want that. They want to know what you're going to look like as a man and how you're going to compete as a man against other men. And we grow so much, guys grow so much slower than girls do, or mature so much slower. We mature emotionally and mentally, I think, it's a little slower than girls do. And then we definitely mature physically. Guys will keep growing till they're 22 sometimes. And that's hard. That's hard for the guys. But I think what the starting earlier thing does is starts to give you a better picture for what is out there and what the competition kind of looks like. And I think going to games, Dallas, I think,
That's what, yes.
if you went and watched Fort Hayes your junior year play in person, maybe you wouldn't have picked Fort Hayes. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And at that time, it was so rushed that I didn't really start watching collegiate soccer until junior year. And that's why I say, like, just start everything earlier. And I know that girls' side, they kind of commit their freshman and sophomore year. But just even watching soccer from the guy side and getting out there and just going to ID camps, talking to college soccer, it might give you a better perspective on maybe what you thought, your goals and aspirations are. It might lower them a little bit, or if that's the same thing that you want to do. But I think also getting out your name out there, so the coach is like, oh yeah, I've seen Dallas before, I remember him coming out, or I remember him. Because you never know what might happen your senior year or junior college. Maybe you commit and then the coach is like, oh okay, well, it's a new coach that's coming in, and then you decommit, and that coach that you did went to the ID camp or saw the game that remembers you, really wants you. And so I think of the connection aspect is what I was going to say.
Right on. Well, dude, I thank you so much for coming on and taking time out of your day. I really appreciate it. It's been so good to catch up with you, man. How do people get in touch with you, by the way? So anybody in the Dallas Fort Worth area, if you're in the Dallas Metroplex, and you're looking for a good realty group, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, if you guys are looking to buy or sell in the DFW area, surrounding area as well, I can help you. And you just follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I'm on all the platforms. It's just Dallas Knows DFW. So if you just type that in, you'll find me on Facebook, Instagram, all the social media platforms.
Dallas Knows DFW.
Yes.
Right on. And you're in, fortunately, you're in one of the hottest real estate markets in the country right now.
Yes.
On fire.
Yes, Dallas is number two in America, and then Fort Worth is number three. So we're seeing a lot of people from California move. I just talked to someone from Maine. I've got a client actually in New York, Long Island, as looking to move here. Waxahachie, Texas. So that's south of Dallas. But yeah, real estate has been a blessing. I love it. Love helping people, and especially love helping as well first-time home buyers, walking through them the process of home buying.
Well, and if you're thinking about doing that, I mean, you can tell from hearing this that that Dallas is not your ordinary 23-year-old. He's got the soul of a 30-something-year-old for sure. He's you've always been more mature than what your age says, what the numbers say, Dallas. And I know you're going to help a lot of people, and I'm excited to continue to watch your career grow. Thanks again, Dallas. I really appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Don, for having me.
Okay, brother. Right on. I hope you enjoyed that talk with Dallas Albert, man. A lot of good depth there. Parents, share this with your kids. And he's got some really good messages in there. And players, share this with your parents. I mean, there's a lot to learn in that one. I wanted to talk to you quickly about gapyearsoccer.com. So if you think that you could benefit from maybe a year of maturing after high school, we're finding that it helps a lot of players with their college journey. If they can take a year out after high school, kind of learn about who they are, learn about being away from home a little bit, and mature physically, mentally, emotionally, and then learn technically and tactically at another level. Log on to gapyearsoccer.com. Let one of our staff talk to you and help you with figuring out, is a gap year the right thing for you to do? And maybe I should go spend some time in Germany or in Spain or in England and take a gap year out before I begin my college journey. College soccer is becoming more difficult for 18-year-olds coming straight out of high school, as you just heard Dallas talk about. Going in with a lot of 20 and 21-year-old freshmen, and having to compete against them, a gap year can help you with that process. So if you're interested in a gap year, log on to gapyearsoccer.com, fill out the application, have a discussion with one of our staff, and we'll let you know if a gap year kind of maybe is the right thing for you. Gapyearsoccer.com. Fill it out today, an application, and one of our staff will get right back to you. Thanks, everybody.